Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Bracket Rundown Show. I'm your host, Chad
Sherman,
joined by John Stalica, Matt Sikowski, and that's it.
Bracket. Hey.
We're joined by a reputable.
And Chad, if I may, I would like to personally welcome the 10 members of this year's selection committee to the podcast tonight. You know, I have checked. They do have internet in the room. That means they can access Hoops HD. It's available to the committee, and it's just an honor to be working with a website that's available to the committee. And something else, did you know last year not one of the 10 members ever said that they didn't find what we do helpful? They never said that, so.
I think you're right. And actually, let's give me a second here. Here we go. Let's start with something, because there is a very important tool that they have available to the room, David.
Yes.
I mean, it got its first update of the season also the other night, so let's pull it up real quick here.
Yes. So this is the survival board, and what it is, it's basically just like you said, it's a tool that lets the committee know what they're supposed to be doing. And it, you know, so what happens is a selection committee member, like when they begin the process, they log on to this page and they see the different types of teams here, like the champions, like that would be a conference tournament winner. We're not going to have one of those for a while. They're bowled and locked in. That means that they're definitely in the field. The teams that we bowled, that means the committee is supposed to put them in, even if they're not an automatic bid winner. And then the teams that are in italics, and you see a lot of teams in italics right now, those are the teams that the committee is supposed to be looking at. And the other types, you see down there in the America East, the teams that are in normal type, those are the teams that you're not going to put in unless they win the automatic bid. So, again, a wonderful resource here for the selection committee, wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. And what we're going to be doing tonight on our Bracket Rundown Show is creating a seed list. That is not only choosing who belongs in the field, but also ranking them, basically the top 12 lines, the top 12 seeds, about 50 teams or so. For what we believe the NCAA tournament should be as of today. And after the show, we'll bracket it up. So if you look down there below us, you can actually see it, but don't look yet. If you did,
real quick. You'll want to see how it's built. And just we never mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and we really should mention it at the beginning of every bracket show. We're not really making an attempt to guess what the committee's going to do in this particular format. It's basically what we would do if we were the committee. So some of what you see is not necessarily what we think the selection committee will do. I don't even know what the committee's going to do. We have he's not with us tonight, but we have a selection committee guessing expert, John Titel. He knows what the committee's going to do, but none of us really do we?
I know what they're going to do. They're going to pick 68 teams. On that note, for the three of you, as we put these teams in the field, please feel free to use the survival board tonight if you're trying to figure out who needs to be in. Just want to make that note. But Matt, let me start with you. Here is our seed list. You see, it has all 68 spots. We're only going to go through about number 50 here or so, approximately, maybe a little bit short of that. But as of right now, and this is January 25th, 9:45 p.m. Eastern, who are the top four teams in the nation? Who are the one seeds?
I'd have it Villanova, Purdue, Duke, and Virginia.
Villanova, Purdue, Duke, and Virginia. Well, I guess the big question first of all, two questions. Number one, Virginia is number two in the nation, but only two teams with one loss. Why do you have them fourth overall?
I think Purdue and Duke have done a little bit more on their profiles.
Can we pull up Purdue's profile? Well, in somebody else, like something else we're going to do.
Here's Villanova and Purdue, but he mentioned Duke, so let's go Duke and Purdue here. Duke on the left.
Okay, yeah.
In a second, there they are.
Yeah, I'm just not quite as enamored with Purdue. I mean, the win against Arizona on a neutral floor is pretty good. The other wins aren't really all that, because Maryland and Marquette are hugging the bubble. And they had a nice win the night, but I'm just not as enamored with them as many other people are. I mean, I understand why they're up there. I understand I'm in the minority, but I think there's some teams in the Big 12 that have done a little bit more.
What about the 16-game winning streak they're on right now, too? I mean, you can't be hotter than that in the nation. I think that is the hottest in the nation, if I'm correct.
It is. Oh, I like it. I mean, it's not like I have them on the 8 line.
Well, here's the stuff you like, David. Of their 6 Tier 1 wins, 5 of those are away from home.
Yep. They are. I mean, I like their profile. I just like a couple teams from the Big 12 a little bit more. That's all.
Salika, I thought the team that might get it here on the one line. What about the Kansas Jayhawks? Do they belong up here instead of one of these teams?
I thought about it, but at the same time, I would agree with Matt and that Virginia probably should be up here at this point. Granted, most of their damage has been done at home, but when you look at not just who they're beating, but how they're beating them in the cases of North Carolina and Clemson, they're leaving very little doubt as to who's going to be the front runner in the ACC for the time being. The only negative for Virginia is they're only going to get one shot at a team like Duke, for example, because they've already played their one game against North Carolina this year.
They'll get more shots in the ACC tournament, first of all. And it wasn't Virginia I was talking about knocking down, though, Matt. I'm talking about why should Duke be a one seed over Kansas? Look at those Tier 1 and Tier 2 wins. I think Kansas' side is a lot more impressive than Duke's, isn't it?
I think Kansas is probably a little better. I think Duke's the better team. And I like that. I like the Michigan State neutral court win that they won basically when Bagley barely played. So they had adversity. I love that Florida win. I've got Florida on my 3 line. So
I think Kansas won at West Virginia. Kansas won at TCU. Kansas beat Kentucky. And, David, Kansas won at Nebraska.
Yes. I mean, that one's in question.
You're only focusing on wins right now. Let's not forget that Kansas also has 4 losses on their profile, 2 of which were at home and 1 that was sort of at home.
A Duke lost to Boston College at NC State. Don't give me that, Stilley.
That's only 2 losses.
It's 2 out of which
Rick Cameron.
Well, Kansas's losses while at home, 2 of them were against teams that Oklahoma is really, really good. Texas Tech is either a protected seed or close to it. Arizona State is in the top half of the bracket. And then there's that other loss,
I think if we just go by Chad's logic and just focus solely on wins, then we have to start looking at North Carolina as a one because they've also beaten Clemson, Michigan, at Notre Dame, Ohio State, Tennessee, Arkansas.
If you're going to read off team the profile, I might as well put it on the screen here, first of all. Let's put that up here on the right side next to Duke, put up Carolina. That's some very nice wins there, but – I'm not completely ignoring the losses, and you've got the Virginia Tech loss they just suffered, plus the Wofford loss on Carolina. I understand them not being a one seed. Duke does have – I'm not ignoring the – you got to look at the losses on Duke. At Boston College, at NC State, they should have won one of those games at least, and that game being at Boston College. But
yeah.
But they also won at Miami, so they also won at Wake, so it's not like they're losing all of their games away from home.
Okay, pull up another team here. What about Oklahoma? And they just beat Kansas, who we're already talking about. And now, again, when I say this, I mean by one seed standards. One of the knocks is that their big, big wins have both been at home. But, they've knocked off Kansas and TCU, both ranked really, really high. They won at TCU. The win at Wichita State is – not as impressive as it was a week ago, but that's still a pretty damn good profile. And their losses at West Virginia you kind of got to forgive that one.
The Bedlam one's the one that's my guy.
Right. Yeah, and it is bad, but, I mean, when you're looking at – I think that that's no worse. In fact, it's probably not even as bad as losing at BC.
I agree with you. I think it's a very solid two-seed profile, David. But I don't think it's a one seed profile.
Well, I had them. They were my last one seed. So, I mean, I kind of went back and forth with it. I'm just not as enamored with Purdue. They're playing really well. I just don't think the top, they don't have the big protected seed wins away from home.
They've got one for me.
Which one?
Arizona?
Oh, yeah. Okay, they do. They have that one. I'm sorry. But not in a true road game.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's leave this line alone here. I don't.
What? Think no. That is not what you should be doing. You should be putting Kansas up there instead of Duke. That is what you should be doing.
We never even explained what we're doing here. But as each of you gives me a full line, I have a right to veto one team, occasionally more than one, but normally one team off that line if the arguments aren't convincing enough.
Unless it's me, then you don't have the ability to do that.
Well, David, I was going to go to you next.
That case, but could be swept then.
David, I was going to go to you for the two seeds, but because of that comment, Salika.
Wait a minute. No, it's my turn. It's my line.
John, what do you got?
Sorry about that, puppet. So in this case, I will go with the aforementioned teams of Kansas and North Carolina. I'm also going to go with Oklahoma, fresh off their win at home against Kansas. I'll also go with my red-hot Xavier team right now.
Oh, going with your own team there. I kind of like that line, but David, what do you think?
I like three of them. I would swap West Virginia for North Carolina.
Matt, would you put West Virginia up on the three line here? Do you think that
I have a different Big 12 team instead of North Carolina. I would have Texas Tech.
I have them both ahead of North Carolina. It's just that I had West Virginia just right in front of Texas Tech. Okay, but I wouldn't – yeah, I like them both more than the Tar Heels.
Well, Salika read off a few minutes ago all those great wins that Carolina does have at the top of the profile, with four of those Sector 1 wins being away from home. You look at West Virginia, David, only two of them are away from home. One of them is Missouri, and the other one's Kansas State. I mean, it's not Tennessee, Ohio State. It's not that caliber of win, is it?
No, I part of it is I just think West Virginia would absolutely destroy North Carolina if the two were to play. So, I mean, I know that that's a subjective way of looking at things, but I think that it's close enough to where I just think West Virginia is kind of a better team. North Carolina has the wins, and like the win at Tennessee is really good. They didn't quite Ohio State wasn't quite rolling the way they are now, and Notre Dame, while good, is not really. I mean, they're fringe bubble. So I mean, when you're talking about the two line, how is there anything indicative of a two seed about beating a fringe bubble team on the road? I mean, that's good, but it isn't a win against the team that's in the top half of the bracket.
Do me a favor and leave West Virginia up for a moment, because I want to highlight another statistic as we're looking at West Virginia right here. The average RPI win is about 161, because if you go back to their non-conference schedule, a lot of Tier 4 wins in there. Whereas a team like North Carolina, they did schedule a little bit smarter.
So, Stalika, what you're saying is that had they lost to Coppin State and Marist, it would have really increased their average RPI win, and you'd like them a little more.
Yeah, it would also add a few.
He's right. What the average RPI would have they lost to Coppin State? Matt, though, I want to take a look at that Texas Tech team that you mentioned here, and that there's them against North Carolina head to head. Why do you think that that's better than North Carolina or West Virginia?
I still love that win at Kansas.
Washington won, beat Kansas at Kansas. Arizona State won at Kansas. Baylor almost won at Kansas.
Kansas State almost won at Kansas.
Everybody almost won or won at Kansas this year. That doesn't – do something – sell me a little better than that, because the only thing they did – beat West Virginia at home.
Well, how about this? I've got something.
Yeah.
Texas Tech, I love that win at Kansas.
Yeah, plus,
That's why I have them ahead of North Carolina.
I'll see the West Virginia argument. I'll see that one. Okay. West Virginia over Carolina.
Then we are making a call here. We're going to move Oklahoma and Xavier up a spot and leave Carolina out, put West Virginia in.
All right, that's my – well, it would have been my exact two line, although I had two of these teams on the one line.
Texas Tech and North Carolina, the two teams we've discussed that we've not yet put in. begrudgingly, David, I'm going to go to you next.
Okay. Well, the next team on the list is Texas Tech, as I had indicated. I have the Tar Heels next. This is going to take some arguing, but I have Auburn all the way up here.
That's exactly where I have them, too.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
I had them number 10 on my overall seed list.
Yeah.
Okay. And, so Auburn was like Auburn 10 or 11, so there we go.
Yeah. And I kind of keep going back and forth between Michigan State and Arizona, but the Spartans.
John, is there anything you dislike about what he just told us?
Well, pending the result of the current game between Ohio State and Penn State, I was prepared to have Ohio State at the bottom of the three line, but considering they are down by 9 points at the under four timeout, it's looking like they're finally going to get their first loss. So at this point, I would be inclined to agree that Michigan State should probably be up here.
Well, I got another point to make. I mean, I know Penn State is who's going to get the win, but it's obvious that it was Nebraska. They were able to watch that game, scout that game, and that's why Penn State is doing well. Nebraska, they need credit for that win. It should be on their profile.
Matt, it does sound like we have much debate on this line, do we? I think it's gonna.
I like 3/4 of it. I would actually have another SEC team at the bottom. I would have the Florida Gators at the end of the three line. I had a Michigan State.
Too schizophrenic for me. Their good is 3-seed good. Their bad is NIT bad.
Like, they're okay. The Loyola loss. That's a team that's right on the 12-13 border probably right now. That's.
I think they're even better than that, but yeah. But
plus,
you got Florida up there. Yeah, they're good. Is amazing. Kentucky, Cincinnati, both away from home. That's a hell of a profile. But it's just that part right there. South Carolina at home at Ole Miss. At Ole Miss.
Oh, that was last. Was that last
yeah. night? Oops, right. Course they lost at Ole Miss because they just beat Kentucky. Now, next week, they're going to beat Golden State, and then they're going to lose to Coppin State.
Well, here's the weird thing this year in the SEC. Ole Miss has won all four conference games at home, including Florida, Alabama, Mississippi State, and I forget who the other team is.
Yeah, I did not realize they had that South Carolina loss, so I'm actually good then with your line.
Then we're moving on. Okay, Matt, why don't you give me your four line, because I think we've got a pretty much unanimous decision here up among these four teams.
All right. Now, this is one I think I'm aiming for the double veto on this line, but I'll still have Florida on the four line. I have Arizona. I have Clemson for now. I'm basically treating all the injury teams as kind of wait-and-see mode. And then I still have Seton Hall at the bottom of this. I love their away wins.
That's a team – you're really going to have to sell me on here is that Seton Hall pick. David, does Seton Hall belong on the four line?
I don't think so. I mean, their paper, they do have some of those wins, but I can't help but think their paper's a little bit better than their team. No, I wouldn't. I had Seton Hall more than – I had Seton Hall two lines down, actually.
As would I have. So, David, who would you have here instead of Seton Hall?
Well, I know that I'm kind of enamored with one win on their profile, but there isn't anything bad on it, and it was a damn good win. I have Michigan all the way up here, and this is where I actually had Ohio State.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Michigan first, because I don't buy that Michigan argument. You know, the LSU loss, they've got two wins against the field, Texas team that's, you know, in the middle of the field, and a Michigan State team that was playing like garbage when they beat them and almost lost to Rutgers in overtime right before that. John, do you buy Michigan up on the four line? Seton Hall up on the four line? Are we missing somebody here?
I buy Michigan up on the four line. I do not buy Seton Hall on the four line, though. In fact, I think you know it's probably going to pain me to say this.
Please do, because this is a team that belongs here. Say it.
I know who you want. Go ahead and say it, because I can't. If it's Cincinnati, Let's look at all the things they haven't done.
I am going to say the Bearcats here.
They have.
Okay, let's look. Look at this. They've won at Buffalo, like, who's outside the bubble.
They haven't lost games. That's what they have not done.
They haven't beat anyone.
They haven't played games either. Okay, when they lost to Xavier, they really didn't mess around doing that. And, God.
The loss to Florida was by 6.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, have they beaten anyone? No one in the one of the things that's indicative is that you have to beat someone on the road that's in the top half of the bracket most of the time to be a protected seed. Cincinnati hasn't beaten anyone in the bracket.
See, that's why, like, Seton Hall has three wins over teams in the top half of my bracket on the road or away from home. And that you can look at all these other profiles, and you're not going to see anything like that. And they're like, they have one bad loss against Rutgers. The rest of them, all their losses are to tournament level teams.
Go back to Cincinnati. I mean, let me look, because I do think Cincinnati is good. It's just when you look at their paper, like Temple, how many home losses does Temple have? I mean, how much credit can you really even give them for that? Are there wins away from home against teams that are even good at home?
But David, Temple has 2 wins away from home against teams we have in the field already, Auburn and Clemson.
Yeah, well, I mean, had Cincinnati beaten Temple away from Temple, then maybe I'd like them a little more. But at Temple, they're terrible.
They did. I'm half kidding there, but like right there.
Well, okay. Well, wow. Yeah. Well, I missed that.
75-42 last night. They ran Temple completely out of the building last night.
My thought on Cincy, like, this is going to go generally for all the American teams. You've got a schedule a little bit better than they did, and we'll at least win a couple of these games to get a protected seed.
Well, I mean, it isn't even that. I think they tried. Like, UCLA was supposed to be much better than they were. Xavier, top 10, Florida was. However they scheduled or didn't schedule or tried to schedule or tried not to schedule, it's just not there. Fair or not, bad luck or not. Like, now they're doing a fantastic job against the teams outside of the top 200.
Mississippi State is also a halfway decent win right here, but it's probably not going to get above 75, which is what you would need to get it into tier 2.
They beat Wyoming. Nevada couldn't do that last night.
I actually like that win a little bit. I like that Wyoming win, but do I like it for – I don't – they're high in the rankings, and they – that's not surprising that they are. I think that they're much better than what their resume indicates, obviously. But, I mean, to put a team on the – I don't know. I have a hard time putting a team on the four line when so many others have done at least something. Like, you didn't like what Michigan's done, but it's more than what Cincinnati's done.
Well, I kind of got to make a call here, and I got to do something. And since none of you are going to go with my Cincinnati pick – Matt, I'm gonna have to go with their Michigan pick because the two of them like Michigan there over Seton Hall.
I can
stomach Michigan more than I can stomach Seton Hall, but I personally really can't stomach either one of them. So that's kind of
what about is Clemson's injury concerning to you all? Like to have them this high, or are we kind of waiting and see?
I'm waiting and seeing. Like I think they probably it's gonna hurt them a lot, but I'm waiting and seeing.
Yeah, because, I mean, they do have – that win at Ohio State is looking really good. And
the Louisville win's looking better. The Florida win's looking better.
Right.
And then, the Ohio State win. Like, there's points in here if we wanted to have Ohio State, but, like, there's just not – and Ohio State won any one of these, but they didn't. That's where
– I also have an update that's live on tape delay here. Penn State's lead has now been scuttled down to 2 points here with 14 seconds remaining. So we may have buried Ohio State a little too early tonight.
Then this would change nothing for me on them. But still.
Well, if one of you wants to make a motion at the end of the show to move Ohio State up into that number 16 spot, if they pull this game out, I would be happy to hear it. But at the moment, John, why don't you go ahead and give me the 5 line?
Well, at this point, I will add both Ohio State and Cincinnati towards the top of that line.
Okay.
And at this stage, I will also go ahead and add Seton Hall and Arizona State to round out the fives.
Okay.
Matt, oh, wow. Like
what about okay? What about Tennessee?
Yeah.
Oh wow. A rather
okay,
crazy finish to Ohio State here live on tape delay.
Revenge is a dish best served cold because Ohio State did the same thing at Penn State last year.
Yeah.
So apologies to our colleague Kyle Lamb here.
Ohio State did lose tonight, for those of you
at
that
the buzzer,
don't know, at the buzzer. Yeah. Penn State.
By the time you're watching this, you will always have been made aware of that. But this happened as we were recording it, so.
But I still David. I think somebody was mentioning Tennessee here as a team to look at.
Yeah, I like their. I like them more than Cincinnati.
You like them more than Cincinnati, Matt? Would you agree that Tennessee should be above Cincinnati?
I like Tennessee more than Arizona State.
Okay. I mean, sorry, David, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, the win against Purdue, albeit at home, nice win against Kentucky. And this is a South Carolina team that's really starting to play well. They've won four of their last six. Three of those were against really good teams.
Matt, how about the argument with – here's Arizona State on the right-hand side up there. Them and Tennessee.
It's it. I mean, Arizona State's got those real nice wins, but they Pac-12 play has not gone so well for them. And that to be 3-4 in a conference that's so bad. It's not like, okay, at Arizona, I understand, but the home loss to Oregon, that's no bueno. And then even Stanford, that Stanford's playing better, but still, I think a 5-seed team should win at Stanford.
I tell you what, I think that's a more convincing argument than the Cincinnati argument. I do like the idea of putting Tennessee in here on the five line. Let's go ahead and put them in there at number 20. We'll hold over Arizona State. And David, let me let you give us the next three teams.
Okay, let me see. I don't want to repeat. Where is there's Seton Hall. They would have been on my sixth line. But next I got Arizona State. They really would have been my next team because, again, they've struggled, but not to the point to where I think you dropped them more than this. A bit of a home court hero here, but Kentucky. I have them all the way up here. I'm going to sound hypocritical for arguing against Cincinnati and then having Rhodey up this high, but I do have Rhodey up this high. And do we have Florida? Oh, we got Florida in already. Okay. And on a similar note, Gonzaga. I had them at the bottom of my sixth line.
John, what do you think of that?
I would agree with everyone except for Kentucky right here.
Yeah.
I would probably add Wichita in place of Kentucky here.
You had me on let's leave Kentucky out until you said let's put Wichita in and favor of them.
I've got a substitute here that's not named Wichita.
Yeah.
The Horned Frogs?
And, Matt, I think I like that argument a little bit better. But let's pull up that TCU profile here against Kentucky first. And David, why do you like Kentucky better than TCU when you see that when Kentucky has no wins away from home? Their best win away from home is LSU. TCU has the Nevada win, the Bonnies win, the Baylor win.
I think that the more I look at it, I think what it was is that when I looked at Kentucky's losses, none of them really struck me as gross other than maybe the home loss to UCLA. And I thought that their decent was decent enough to have them up here. But, I mean, if not TCU, another team that I kind of liked was Nevada. And I know that they lost last night in double overtime. Great game, by the way. But there isn't a whole lot there. And I guess that's where I was. Well, Kentucky doesn't have a whole lot, but Nevada has even less. So I just nudge Kentucky ahead of them. I had TCU down a little bit. I mean, their top of the profile is really good. That St. Bonaventure game was a neutral floor game, by the way, so it's even better than what it may appear on there. But part of TCU is just how much they've struggled in league play. And I think that the only thing was, and it might – maybe I just need to look past this and look at the overall body of work, but their conference record is below what you normally see on this line.
I think the only black mark I would give TCU would be the Kansas State loss, because if you look at the two losses to Oklahoma, that's understandable. Losing against Kansas, not really going to punish that. Texas, that's a 50-50 game on the road.
It was a good game, too.
Sorry, Salik, I need to respond to you here. You want to give them a black mark for a Kansas State team that I have a feeling we're going to put in here, whereas you're not going to give black marks to Wichita for SMU and Notre Dame losses, which are teams that may not make this field. Houston may not make this field. I'll take a Kansas State loss at Kansas State over those three losses any day.
I'm still going to have Notre Dame and Houston in my own personal field at this point.
Well, we'll see if they make it in this field or not. That's going to come up in a few minutes here. But let's go ahead and make a call here, and I am going to knock Kentucky out.
No! You can't change my line. You're breaking one of the rules.
It's becoming TCU. Kentucky and Wichita State are the two holdovers that we discussed. But I guess we're back up to you, Matt. Who would be the seven line?
So I would have Creighton here.
Okay. Wow.
I would have Wichita State. And then I'd have a pair of ACC teams, Florida State and Louisville.
You still wouldn't have Kentucky?
No.
Wow.
All right. David, I liked
Kentucky did beat Louisville in a game that wasn't exactly close.
Well, like, I know that, but there's also a Kentucky support. If we're going to go on precedent, last year Marquette beat Vandy by 30 on a neutral, and Vandy was still seated ahead of Marquette in the end, even though their profiles were actually pretty similar, too.
I'm just pointing it out. Let's see. I did have Louisville on this line.
Okay.
And Wichita. And, okay, I'm not that big on Florida State and Creighton, although I had Creighton very, very close. What about Nevada?
Well, if you want to say what about Nevada to David, let me ask you this question. If you want to say what about Nevada, shouldn't you also say what about St. Mary's?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Gonzaga is way better than anything Nevada has done.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. I think Nevada's team's – well, yeah, I could see that. I mean, despite the unbelievably horrendously weak schedule, what is their average RPI win, by the way?
Salik,
173.
I mean, I'd like St. Mary's a lot better had they lost to Pepperdine, San Jose State, Sac State, and had that average RPI win a little bit higher. I don't want to say that you've convinced me because it's you, but Matt, who do you like more, St. Mary's or Nevada?
I have 30 and 31 on my personal loss curve. St. Mary's 30, Nevada 31.
Oh, well, then that convinces me. I can't admit that Chad convinced me.
All right, but the question, I guess, is does St. Mary's even belong on the seven line at Salika, or should we leave Massachusetts?
Florida State, good God. I have them so further down.
They have a very nice profile.
I think there's an argument that Florida State could be higher than this. It's a very – let's pull them up here, David. There they are. I mean, nothing really bad there. And the win at Florida, the win over North Carolina, the win at Mottech. Where's the ban on this Florida State profile?
Boston College.
Duke lost to?
At home. Well, not at home, but on a neutral floor. Yeah, who Duke lost to. Who we shouldn't have on the one line, but do.
But, Sister League, where do you stand on this? Should Florida State come out? Should somebody else come out? Should we leave it alone?
If I had to choose between one of the two ACC teams, I probably would go I would take Louisville here just based on the head-to-head matchup, which Louisville ended up winning in overtime. But I do think you need to have St. Mary's in here.
I can't believe, yeah, we still don't have Kentucky in. I mean, I would have Kentucky above all these teams, but Creighton is
I don't have Kentucky in my hit line either.
Oh, Matt, you're crazy there. I guess I'm just, nobody's telling me what team we should knock off here for Kentucky, because it's kind of all over the place right now, so I might have to leave this.
How about just sliding everyone down?
Well, that means
first Kentucky signature win so far. Yeah. St. Mary's does have the game at Gonzaga and also New Mexico State.
But I'll tell you what, if we put up Kentucky and Louisville side by side, I think there's something that may make that decision for us, David.
Something. I mean, these two teams get along so well.
But I kind of see something on Kentucky's side that makes me kind of think maybe just let's swap Kentucky for Louisville. They won head-to-head big.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that move.
And I realize that in and of itself isn't – but it's close enough to where the game that was a blowout – yeah, I just think Kentucky got it done a little more.
All right. Stalika, let me go to you here for the 8 line. We have Louisville, Nevada, St. Mary's, 3 teams that probably should be in by now that are not. So, but go ahead, 4 teams.
Okay, now that I've made my corrections here, I'm going to have St. Mary's as my top 8. I'm going to add Texas, and then I'm going to add the Hurricanes, and then add Louisville in here.
You're still not putting David's Nevada team in?
No, not yet.
Matt, what about that? My Texas and Miami on the 8 line. You like it?
I don't mind. I have Texas there. I had Miami down toward the end of my 9 line. The team we haven't met, I'd have Butler here.
Yeah, I that's the one team I was going to mention that has not come in yet. David, what about Butler? Should they be in here?
I had them close, but not quite here. They would have been the top of my 9. So, I mean, is it – it's so close I don't feel all that strongly. I just don't feel that they're quite as good as some of the other teams. I do like them more than Texas, barely.
Well, this is so close. This is 8-9 games we'll be playing each other anyhow, David. Why don't you go ahead and give me the 9 line? Let's leave that alone and
okay, give me a second here. Is – I got to make sure I take the right teams out. St. Mary. All these.
It's easy when you don't have arms, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it is. Okay, so we have
Nevada, Butler.
Nevada, Butler, and this is a team that is red, that is at least on fire right now. I think that we wrote them off a little quickly, but they do have some nice wins in conference. I had USC all the way up here. And the next team I had up here was – they don't have the paper, but I think they are this good. I had New Mexico State all the way up here.
I think you're maybe a little bit high on both those last two teams. Matt, do you want to tell us tell me why I maybe need to do a double veto on this line?
No.
Yeah, USC. Geez, I had USC in my play-in game still. They're playing better, but the Pac-12's garbage. And they're playing better, but none of those wins are over the two teams we got solidly in our field. So, in that, I would have either Arkansas or Homer pick out at Marquette over both of them. Probably, well, New Mexico I have on my 10 line. That's not too bad. Yeah, USC, that's way too high.
Well, here's USC versus Arkansas. Stalika, can you back up David's choice of USC over Arkansas when you look at these profiles?
Well, USC did get a couple neutral court wins in the Diamond Head when you look at Middle Tennessee and New Mexico State.
And those are so much better than beating Oklahoma and Tennessee and Georgia on the road.
Absolutely.
Georgia on the road. Yeah.
Well, even South Carolina is beating Georgia on the road, so not as difficult as in years past.
I'm already making that move. I don't even think we need to look at that one any longer. Sliga, what about you, New Mexico State on the 9 line? Should I double veto the puppet?
No, you can't. The rules are that you can't.
Nope, let me just go ahead and make a few notes here. But I am going to – I would agree to leave the 9 line as it is here.
Wow.
Vetoes.
Then I guess we'll leave New Mexico State on the 9 line. I think we're a little too high on them. I think we're maybe 2 lines too high on them, but You all kind of agree to lead them here, David, so you won that argument.
Yeah, because I'm just that good. I mean, they beat Miami.
Matt, how about a 10 line?
So I would have Marquette here. I'd have Kansas State. I'd have Providence. And then I'd have Alabama.
John, do you like those picks?
I do not like the Kansas State pick. I mean, granted, they do have the win against Oklahoma and another decent win against TCU, but you're going to have to sell me on what else they've done. We also haven't mentioned Alabama yet, who's been kind of up and down themselves as far as the SEC goes.
He just put Alabama in.
Okay.
He just put Alabama in on the 10 line. So give me another. If you're going to bump Kansas State, don't bump him for a team that's already in.
Okay.
I'm going to have to bump him for USC here if I were to choose.
Okay, I got another team that I like better than just about everybody else. South Carolina.
Thank you. Where were they?
They are just –
Are we seriously considering Kansas State versus South Carolina right now?
Yeah, I mean, at Florida, at Georgia, you all seem to like Georgia. They got the home win against Kentucky. They won at Wofford,
Matt, what about that? Can you defend keeping Kansas State here and not over South Carolina?
I think Kansas State's a better team. I would pick them on a neutral by about 7 or 8 points, but –
Right now, I mean, okay, and I realize that we're not supposed to look at you need to look at the whole body of work, but that whole first quadrant, Kentucky, Florida, Georgia, that's happened in the last 11 days. This is a South Carolina team that is playing very, very well all of a sudden.
And I would actually think that South Carolina would be – they're actually part of my first four right now. I don't even have Kansas State in my first four out right now. I just can't – look past their non-conference schedule where they just did absolutely nothing whatsoever.
Look at that. I mean, their overall metric average is like 39.3, which is right on the 10 line.
And he's talking about that 334 non-conference strength of schedule, which is ugly to say the least.
And like, put this way, if you any other league but the Big 12 and maybe ACC, I'd be knocking it more. In the Big 12, you have 18 dogfights. It's not like,
yeah, so don't you have to do a little something to give yourself a bit of a cushion instead of just taking a pass?
Well, but
I think Kansas State
– they're still 5-3.
Yeah, they are.
The best league.
Yeah, they are. And I think that they're playing well, and I do think that they're going to continue to build their profile, and they'll be there at the end. It's just that I don't have them – I think I had them in, but not this high end or this far end. Another team. What about? I know they just lost at home, but how about a team that beat Purdue on a neutral floor, and that's Western Kentucky.
David, you read my mind because that's the team when you said South Carolina. I thought you were going to say these guys instead. I think that's a lot better argument even than that. Maybe Western Kentucky belongs in right here.
Yeah,
I had Western Kentucky at the top of my 11 line, so I would object to that far less than South Carolina.
Well, then I'm going to go ahead and make that move. Kansas State out, Western Kentucky in. Providence, Alabama, Marquette all staying in. Kansas State and South Carolina under consideration. And I think we're up to you, John, for the next – give me four more teams. I know that we're on the 11 line, which could have more than four teams, but give me four more.
Okay. In this case, I'm going to go ahead and add USC and Notre Dame.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And then I'm going to add another team that's also become a little hazardous of late, and that's the Georgia Bulldogs.
Whoa.
How can you have Georgia ahead of South Carolina?
I'm looking at the whole body of work when it relates to Georgia because they still have the win against St. Mary's back in the Wooden Legacy. They also won on the road at Marquette. They also won at LSU when the Tigers actually did have a pulse. And they still have a nice win at home against Alabama.
Well, South Carolina has a nice road win at Georgia, along with Kentucky. And
one more team, John.
I can't add SMU after what they did tonight. Not when you're losing to UConn.
That's a bad loss.
So tell me who you would. How about South Carolina?
I would add Angry Frank's Bunch here over these other teams. Because I just I can't bring myself to add teams like A&M or Missouri that are falling off the cliff.
Can we pull up Notre Dame? Because I have been so unimpressed with Notre Dame that I didn't even have them. Like, if it were an 80-team tournament, I think they would have made it into my field.
Well, Matt, this is kind of the injury argument here. Did they sort of overlook some of these recent losses, especially if Fonzie Colson is healthy by the time we get to the ACC tournament?
Yeah, this is how, like, this is about where I had Notre Dame. Overall, I think respect to their profile. Like, I like that LSU. I actually would have LSU somewhere, if not this line, I would still have them in my field. So,
I'm sorry, I got something for you, Matt. Okay, go ahead.
They did just sweep A&M this week.
Oh, Lord.
So for A&M, I got something for them also.
Yeah. The buzzer isn't working. Thank God.
Now, I'll add to the laps, a team we haven't mentioned here that I think I might have in this group is Houston.
Where did I have you? Yeah, I had them.
What about putting Houston in? You know, an interesting week with loss at Tulane, bounce back with the win over Wichita, but is that a sign that Houston's any good or that Wichita's bad? And, you know, they haven't done anything on the true road games.
Right.
They beat Charlotte down to neutral.
I had Houston just let me see. What about another team?
Where was that Houston-Providence game played? Wasn't that in
New York City?
New York City, not really neutral.
Right. Now, what about a couple teams I like are Washington and this is about where I had K-State. But did we put K-State in yet? I can't remember.
We never put them back in. So Kansas State is not in it. So
yeah, and. What about, let's look at Washington.
Let me just write this down here. Kansas State, Washington, two teams to look at. There's Washington on the left there.
Okay. At USC, at Colorado, a bit of a home court hero. I think that's – and, again, when we're talking about the rest of the bubble, that's not a bad win. And then, they had that semi-decent okay win against Kansas. I just don't think anybody else we're looking at has done anything like that. Now, they do have some warts, but is losing to a Stanford team that's suddenly at least playing pretty well, if that's the worst thing they have, how much can you really knock them?
The problem is that was at home.
Yeah. I mean, those are some bad – but I guess I'm just – when you look at the quality of their wins and the – crappiness of their losses, it comes out looking pretty good, doesn't it?
Matt, are you ready to put a team with a BPI of 131 in this field as an at-large bid?
Even more like a KenPom of 100. I'll never put a team with a KenPom of 100 in the at-large pool.
Let's keep Washington on the board there. Obviously, Houston, another team that we've discussed, but to make a move here,
I'd say K-State at Georgia.
I was going to say Notre Dame and Georgia, so that's kind of where I'm going. I kind of do agree with David that I think Notre Dame comes back in here in the final, in the first four, but for now I think K-State belongs in there above somebody, and I kind of like David's argument that Notre Dame is very iffy on that profile. David, want to finish us off here, the first four? Four more teams. I don't know what's left. I mean, Notre Dame, Washington, Houston, we've discussed.
Okay, USC, yeah. Kansas State's in. Well, yeah, I had Washington and Boise. This doesn't help us out. I had Buffalo all the way up here.
Okay.
Which is not – and then I had Houston.
All right, so there's –
I want to make sure I'm not forgetting anybody. I'm getting pretty far down the list.
Okay. Notre Dame's still not in, but there is still one spot left.
Yeah, I had Notre Dame behind all of them.
Okay. There's still one spot left, but Matt, Washington, Boise, and Houston as three of the first four of our first fours. Do you like that or do you hate it?
I don't mind Boise or Houston because I think now that – I think I ended up being one team short, so I would have had Boise. They were my first team out. In that I put this way, you were laughing. Like, let's pull up LSU's profile now. They have some nice stuff on there. And if we already have Georgia in,
Let's take a look at LSU. Let's take a look at another SEC team you mentioned also, Texas A&M. I think these are two teams that do merit at least a look here. So tell me about both of them, why you think that they are close.
Well, I like LSU to get all three of their Tier 1 wins away from home. And that they also have the win over the Houston team we just put in. They swept A&M out. At this point, I don't think A&M can go in ahead of LSU.
Right. And John, what do you think about these teams?
I can't ignore the head-to-head between LSU and A&M. But if we were looking at other candidates, I'd probably have to look at UCLA right here. But the only problem with the Bruins is their only wins of note are going to be Washington and Kentucky.
Why are you looking at UCLA? Because I don't believe that they deserve any consideration at all, David, do they? I mean, they
well,
lost the three straight games now.
Well, this isn't on their profile, but they did get Lamar Ball out of the country.
That is a reason to put them in. I guess I agree with that.
Yeah, that's the best argument I think we've heard all night, but it's still probably not good enough to get them all the way into this field.
If that's the argument, we have to invite them to the AC8, not the NCAA tournament.
What country is LeVar Ball coaching in right now?
Lithuania.
Okay, and God bless UCLA.
Yeah, but I don't think I have them in, but I think we need to start talking about Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, I had them ahead of Notre Dame. I am just not big on Notre Dame. I mean, whatever I'm almost – maybe Washington gets in, maybe they don't. They were right on the fringe of my bubble, but I don't see how you can like Notre Dame more than Washington.
I like the Middle Tennessee argument here. I guess, Matt, we haven't mentioned them yet. I know they lost tonight, but what about SMU still?
I still had SMU. I might not have put, like, punch. I think – sending them to Dayton after that loss is probably a fair punishment, but SMU actually, this is a team I would have, especially ahead of Washington.
Well, Matt, let me do this then. There is one spot left in the field. We've mentioned Notre Dame, LSU, SMU, Middle Tennessee. Why don't you tell me who is that final team if we leave Washington, Boise, and Houston in? I'm not that crazy about leaving those three teams in, but looks like we're going to do that. So
of those, I would actually have SMU.
Okay, so we're going to give SMU the final spot. Notre Dame is getting left out here. Stalika, anybody else that we should be considering here that did not go into this field?
Not at this point. I mean, I would have even argued for Middle Tennessee as opposed to SMU for the last spot here.
We could replace Washington very easily.
Washington won at Kansas, sort of.
What about Missouri, David?
Well, I mean, they've got to go on in the 8-9 game.
All right. No, that would actually
I'm sorry. No, in the 7-10. I am mistaken. They need to go into the 7-10.
But let's kind of talk
close. Them. I had them close, but not all the way in. I got one that – We mentioned them. They're playing really well. I think they're better than their paper, but it's hard to take them when you look at their paper. What about Loyola Chicago? Another team I like more than Notre Dame.
Not a team whose name I thought I was going to be typing tonight other than in the bottom section there. But, I mean, the nice one at Florida. And what you've got to qualify with those losses there, I believe, other than the – Boise State lost. Their best player was out for those other three losses.
He's
now back. So there is an asterisk by the Missouri State, Indiana State, and Milwaukee losses. So that is something there. But they just don't have a chance for another quality win other than Missouri State at home, really, though. That's
right. The real committee, I can't imagine, would take them because the win at Florida is good. Is it good enough to – you know, be a catalyst for them to put them all the way into the field if they hold serve the rest of the way? I don't know. I think this is a really good team.
Well, I would have had them above your Buffalo pick, David, but, you know, given that that's not going to really affect our bracket here because I would have had Buffalo in anyhow. I do like them better than that. But And again, if we put them in fact, let's go ahead and do that. I'll put them right in here because we'll put them in as the Missouri Valley champions. So they can make our field. But yeah. Let's kind of talk about who else is actually getting left out. Is there anybody else that is close to under consideration that we haven't discussed? Let me run through each of you on that question. Matt?
The one we haven't mentioned, I'll hold my nose, is Syracuse.
I knew that was coming.
I like them probably fifth on that list, but so I guess – but I would have Syracuse ahead of Washington. I'd have about 40 teams ahead of Washington.
Washington won at Syracuse – or won at Kansas.
I'll tell you also who else we did mention. I did not write down that was UCLA, Stalika. How about anybody else besides those six teams?
I do not think we have discussed Oklahoma State yet either, because this is a team that's also beaten Oklahoma in Bedlam. They also beat Florida State in Miami back in December and also have decent wins against Texas and Iowa State. But the problem is this was not the year to be losing a Baylor.
David, anybody else? Should we put an eighth team under consideration or should we just end it right here?
Well, we got Maryland I sort of had on the board. And then what about this? What about Tim Miles and company?
They are probably about five or six more spots below that by me. A couple of teams, I think, you know, NC State, maybe Virginia Tech off the Carolina win. These are teams that may have a shot to make a run at things. Maybe even, you know, bracketologists beware, but if they can pick up the win over St. Mary's tonight, BYU still not
got
them off my board yet.
I forgot. Yeah, pull BYU up. Oh, okay, you got them.
Okay, here comes BYU's full profile. And nothing if they can't get these wins, but they still have Gonzaga twice, plus the game at St. Mary's tonight.
Yeah.
So that gives them the shots for those quality wins.
Now, if we're going to be talking about teams that are reaches, and granted they are up by 10 right now, what about Utah if they're able to win at Arizona State? Because at that point they would also have wins against Washington and Missouri, a halfway decent win at Oregon, and their only real black mark would be losses at BYU and also a drubbing against UNLV.
I'll be willing to talk about them if they can sweep this week and win at Arizona over the weekend also. Then they're really going to have my attention. If they can't do that, I'm not that certain of that because this is their last chance for a quality win this week when you look at that remaining schedule. But I guess on that note, David, I'm going to quickly go ahead and do something magical here, fill in 13 through 16. Tell me, you like all these teams here.
It's looking kind of blank right now.
Let's see. How about now?
Oh, yeah, I like all those teams. All of them. Every single one of them. A couple things to watch out here for. Oh, well, we'll talk about this on Under the Radar. No one really below the 12 line could even really get to the bubble. It's kind of a drop off, but there's some dangerous basketball teams here. Louisiana, while, you know, against the papier-mâché schedule, has kind of blown through it. Vermont on a roll again. They played Kentucky really close. They dealt with some injuries, still are. If they get healthy, they could be rough in the tournament. Bucknell, not a very good profile, but this is the same team that blew through the Patriot League a year ago and squeezed West Virginia, took them all the way to the wall in the round of 64. They were disappointing earlier in the year, but it's the same roster that did that a year ago, and they seem to have finally hit their stride. So, again, more of this on Under the Radar, but some of these teams could really make some of these protected seats sweat in the round of 64. And then there's Arkansas Pine Bluff, who will do no such thing.
Well, I'd say, too, if we're back to that South Dakota State, whatever game they play, they probably have the best player on the floor with Mike Dowd.
Yeah, they
do. Although Vermont, another dangerous team, especially if they have Anthony Lamb back by the time we get to the tournament to go with Trey Bell Haynes. East Tennessee State's been looking real good
in a
good Southern Conference. They are beating everybody.
Yeah, that I would hate to see them in a 3-14 game.
I think anybody down through Bucknell, I mean, below Bucknell, it's kind of, you kind of hold your nose, but above Bucknell and above, it's all very dangerous there.
Why don't you hold your nose for the winner of the Canona Cup?
The Canona Cup.
Let me go ahead and pull this down. Let me run through each of you for any other final thoughts on the evening. And, Sleeka, let me start with you.
Yeah, we had a bit of a bizarre story last night that took place at a Kansas campus where some crazed fan actually entered one of the dorms and was trying to offer some unsolicited free throw advice for one of the Jayhawk players. Apparently, he got escorted out by the police, and the players wisely decided not to file charges here.
David, you want to comment on that story?
What the hell is wrong with people? I don't really understand it. God, whatever. I don't know. I've lost my train of thought. Speaking of what the hell is wrong with people, what the hell is wrong with Arizona State? Good God.
Matt, any final thoughts from you?
I know old friend of Hoops HD, Joe Lenardi. Good Lord. Michigan State and Ohio State on the two line today. This is not the 2011 Big Ten, Joe. This isn't Evan Turner, Ohio State. This isn't Michigan State. Geez, for a while now. But, no, those, especially when we had a good discussion over about 9 or 10 teams, rate spots, Michigan State and Ohio State were not in that discussion. They were nowhere near that discussion. Like, how is ESPN paying this guy? And here we are probably putting 10 times the effort in and, of course, making 1/10 of the salary.
You're making a salary for this show? David, how come I didn't get a paycheck this week?
Yours all had to go to legal fees for my defense.
On your point, Matt, though, I kind of wanted the show on this. I do have something for Joe Lenardi based upon his bracket, as you explained it. I know Joe joined us on the show a couple of years ago, I like him, Joe, too, but unfortunately, with those choices that Matt just talked to us about, I have to give him something. Joe Lenardi, this is for you. Have a good night, everybody.